Go to 2 Kings chapter 18 in your Bibles. 2 Kings chapter 18. I said this morning we looked at the faith of Hezekiah in the first few verses of this down through verse 8. And tonight we want to consider a little more negative thing, I guess. The lies of the devil. The lies of the devil. The devil is always a liar. He cannot tell the truth. It's his nature. He lies. Everything he says is a lie. Everything he says, even if he quotes scripture, he quotes it in a wrong way and takes it out of context that turns the truth of God into a lie. Here we have in 2 Kings, we also have this recorded, as I said, in Chronicles and Isaiah. But we have the Assyrians coming down and attacking Judah, attacking the city of Jerusalem, and laying siege to the city. And an individual standing outside the city and yelling up to the men on the walls and telling them things from the Assyrian army, and they're all lies. And so let's start with verse 19 and read down through verse 22 as we begin. We're just going to go through this scripture and look through section by section and look at the lies that are told and try to come to understand them a little bit. In 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19, it says, "And Rabshakeh said unto them, Speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trusteth? Thou sayest, but they are vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all them, all that trust on him. But if ye say, we will trust the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has taken away, and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem." Let's pray as we begin. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word and pray that you'd use it for your honor and glory. Help us to understand the devil always lies. Help us to realize that the lies of the devil are there to hurt us, to destroy us, and Lord, help us to stand against them. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Think of the scene with me, that the soldiers in the city of Jerusalem are standing on the walls defending the city against the attack of the Assyrians, and we find that Rabshakeh comes and he shouts up to the walls. A little later on we see that they tell him to speak in the language of the Assyrians, and he says, "No, I'm going to speak in Hebrew because I want everybody to understand me." And so we see this first preamble he has there. And the first lie we see that he says is, God takes away what is good for you. God takes away what is good for you. He said, look at verse 22. "But ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God." Notice what he says. "Is not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem." Rabshakeh says, Hezekiah said that you can't worship in the high places, you can't worship in the groves, you can't worship in these altars anymore, but because that was the fun place to worship, and he wants to take away all your fun. It's a lot more convenient for you than to have to come to Jerusalem on a regular basis, to the city, have to come in to the temple, and there have to bring your sacrifice and come before the altar in the temple. And see, God knows that that's good for you, and he doesn't want you to have what's good for you. He doesn't want you to have what you enjoy. Because God, you know, and the difference is, God's mean. God doesn't want you to have fun. God doesn't want you to enjoy yourself. God doesn't want you to have these high places there where it's more convenient for you to go and to worship than it is in the city of Jerusalem. The devil tells the same lies to us today, doesn't he? He says, God wants to take away all your fun. Look at the things that the world calls fun. Drunkenness, immorality, drugs, profane books and videos, and the devil says, you know what? There's nothing. Those are just kind of innocent pastimes. God doesn't want you to have fun. God wants to take away all that fun from you. But you know, if you have much experience at all, you understand that the Bible does say that there's pleasure in sin for a season. That, I mean, you go down to George Street tonight, and I'm sure in George Street there are people that are having a grand old time. But tomorrow morning, they've got a hangover and got to get up for work. It's not quite so much fun. When they realize all their money is gone, they spent all their money gambling or whatever, and it's gone. When they realize that this immoral relationship has cost them more than they're willing to pay, it's not very much fun. When they realize drugs and alcohol and cigarettes have harmed them, it's not all that much fun. When they realize that it sounded fun to gamble and the lottery says, you know, you get $6 million, $12 million, $15, $18 million, and they show all these happy people who've won millions of dollars. And when you realize that you've spent all your money on tickets and you don't have enough to buy food or rent, it's not so much fun. See, the devil always says God wants to take away all of your fun. Fun is kind of a interesting term. I'm looking forward to this Friday and Saturday going up to Carbonear, spend time with the other pastors from the islands, from their families, and we have a great deal of fun. We have godly fun. Sometimes we tease and we laugh at each other. We enjoy each other. We have a great deal. We're going bowling. Five-pin bowling. I never have understood five-pin bowling. There's a little bowling ball about that big. And they won't even let you throw it. And it's a great deal of fun. It's fun to go. And they set some of the lanes up. And they put these bumper guards up so you can't go in the gutter thing, you know. And all the pastors have to bowl on that one because they just don't do very well at the bowl. You know, the little children do that. And it's fun. I usually don't bowl because I just like to watch the kids bowl. They don't worry about the foul line. They don't worry about form. They don't worry about fashion. They don't even worry about the score. It's just my turn and I throw the ball real hard. Fun. You know what is really fun? It's something that leaves you understanding that God is honored and feeling good the next morning. That's really fun. But the devil says God wants to take it away from you. God doesn't want you to have fun. God told the men on the wall, God is mean. He used Hezekiah to take away these high places. God wants to take away what's good and fun for you. Let's go to verse 23. He says, "Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver 2,000 horses, if thou be able to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away thy face of the captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust in Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? And I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it." Notice what he says now. "The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it." The Lord said to me. You know what the second lie? God speaks to everyone. The Lord said to me. It's amazing how college students are wonderful. When I was attending college, had this fellow, our college was a campus, was out in the country, there's a pond there. And this one fellow, Joe Frontera, I still remember him. He's one of these special individuals who went to college. And he was called up to the discipline committee for missing class. And he stood there like this. He said, "Joe, why aren't you in class this morning?" "Lord told me to go fishing." He said, "The Lord told you to go fishing?" "Yeah, I went down to the pond, went fishing."
Well, Joe, how did you know the Lord told you to go fishing? Look, I had a fish. You see, sometimes think that, you know, the Lord speaks in an audible voice. You know, the Lord speaks in signs. And one, you know, the Lord speaks through his word. And this Rabshakeh, he's an unsaved man, unregenerate, a heathen man. And he said, God spoke to me and God told me to come here and God told me to attack the city of Jerusalem. Now, we pretty much dismiss someone who has no, if you want to say, religious credentials. That when they say, God spoke to me and God told me, we kind of dismiss them. But you know, there are a lot of religious individuals, unsaved religious individuals who have religion, who are saying, God spoke to me and God told me this. And all you got to do is go to the Christian broadcast, or so-called Christian broadcasting networks, and you find God told me, and I'm standing up there in $1,500, $2,000 suits. God told me that you need to give me money. God told me that. After all, I'm a preacher. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm a preacher. God told me you need to give me money. God told me that if you give me money, if you give, you know, and the inference is if you give me enough money, that God will answer your prayer. And that's the only way you're going to get your prayer answered is by giving money to me in my ministry. And there's ministries all over the world that are like that. God told me you need to support. You know, I don't find any place in Scripture for television, radio, and internet ministries. I find the local church. I find that God works works through and in the local church. Now, local churches, I think, are involved in things, but, you know, where's their accountability? God speaks to everyone. Rabshakeh said, God spoke to me. God said, come up here and destroy the city. Some people take this and they turn it just a little bit. And they say, well, I don't feel convicted by it. And if I don't feel convicted by it, it must be all right. My conscience doesn't bother me. And so if my conscience doesn't bother me when doing this, then there must be nothing wrong with it. But you know, the Bible says that our conscience can be hardened like a flint. Our conscience can be seared as with a hot iron, so that our conscience no longer feels the prick of the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord speaks to everyone. We find that the third thing he says, and let's just jump down to verse 29. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. God will lie to you. The third of the lie of the devil, he turns it. You know, it's interesting. You kind of, after a while in life, you become a student of people. Do you know if people are untrusting? It's probably, if people don't trust what you say, it's probably because they tell lies. If people think that you're going to cheat them all the time, it's probably because they cheat. You see, we put on other people what we feel. I had a cousin, and the boy just lied constantly. You never knew if he's... I mean, you pretty much knew he wasn't telling the truth because he had all these fantastic stories. But there's nobody else there to see what went on. He was the only one there. And all these fantastic stories. And you knew they were lying. But you know, the funny thing is, he always thought you were lying to him. See, the devil's a liar. But he tells the men on the wall, do you know what? God's man, Hezekiah, he's lying to you. Because he will not deliver you out of my hand. And through Hezekiah, God is lying to you. When he says, I will deliver you. See, the devil wants you to believe that God will lie to you.
Now we know that God does not lie. 1 Titus 1:2, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God can't lie. It's not possible for him to lie. It's possible for us. We have a sinful nature. It's possible. And it's probable that we, from time to time, tell a lie. It's sin. We should confess it, forsake it, correct it. But the devil wants you to believe that God will lie to you. That God will tell you, I want you to do this just so that, not so that it's good for you, but something's good for him. The devil will lie to you and say, and say, the devil says God will lie to you and tell you that God says you shouldn't do this, when actually, and it goes back kind of to our first point, that God wants to take away the fun out of your life. God will lie to you and say you don't do this simply because he doesn't want you to have fun. He doesn't want you to prosper. He doesn't want you to be able to do the things that other people do. Anyone who's raised teenagers has probably had the question posed to them, to a parent, and said, can we do this? And they say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. Well, everybody else is doing it. And we probably all have told our parents that. Everybody else is doing it. And, our response certainly should be, well, we are not everybody else. We are Christians, we have a testament, and it should be something. But the devil's lie is everybody else is doing it, and they seem to have fun, and so God is lying to you and telling you you're not going to have fun. God's lying to you and telling you that if you cheat, you will not prosper. God's lying to you. God's lying, and over and over we see that the devil says, God will lie to you. Look at the next one in verse 30. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. What's the next lie? You can't trust God with the hard things of life. You can't trust God with the hard things of life. It's a lie of the devil. You know, it's easy to trust God when there's money in the bank and everybody's healthy and there's no conflict in our life and we have a secure job. It's easy to trust God then. Let me ask you to start out. Do you trust God with the small things of life? Do you trust God for wisdom when you go to the grocery store? Say, God, help me know what to buy and what not to buy. Do you trust God that God knows your needs and God will supply? This last week, I needed a turkey. Having Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving on Thursday for the Minions and the O'Briens, and I needed a turkey because they're going to bring one turkey, but I need a turkey to deep fry. Because you got to deep fry a turkey. How many ever had deep fried turkey? Oh, if you haven't, you just missed out. But the house is full on Thursday, I'm sorry. It really is. I don't know how. You know, when you start something like this, sounds like a good idea, we'll have 147 people over for Thanksgiving dinner. But I thought, well, I'll go to Coleman's and get a turkey. And I thought, well, I'll just get it. $30-some for a turkey. Twice what you should pay. And so then I went to Sobeys. You know, I got the same brand of turkey at Sobeys for $15. Same size, for $15. All our turkeys were $15. Didn't know how bad or how much it weighed, it was $15. You know, I thought, you know, I should have talked to the Lord before I bought the turkey. I said, Lord, help me to know where to get a turkey. But I just went out because, you know, I don't have to trust God because I've bought, I don't know how many turkeys I've bought over the years. I don't need God's help to buy a turkey, but apparently I did. Why is it we don't stop to think of it, to pray about the little things of life? But sometimes we can say, I can trust God for the little things of life, but when it comes to the big things of life, I can't trust God. I have to work it out myself. When it comes to a serious family problem, I can't come before the Lord and say, Lord,
I need you to help. I need you to intervene. I need you to resolve this conflict and resolve this issue and trust God to do it without conniving and working behind the scenes and trying to get people on your side. When it comes to a financial problem and the month hasn't ended and the money has and there's no money and you have needs and you come before the Lord and say, Lord, you know that I haven't spent foolishly this month, maybe I have, but there's no money left. And I need gas for the car to get to work, and if I can't get to work, I can't make, and next month's going to be worse. And so instead of trying to connive to figure out just how, trust God. One of the hardest things we have is trusting God when it comes to a serious health concern. We don't necessarily think we have to trust God much. We have an ingrown toenail. Although they can be pretty bad, right, Ben? Yeah. You know, Ben, when I had my ingrown toenails, I fainted in the doctor's office. Out cold. Doctor didn't think too much of it. He'd get up. Stop being a baby. You'd have to know my doctor. But we don't think we need to trust the Lord too much for an ingrown toenail, but when it comes to cancer, when it comes to heart disease, when it comes to serious problems, can we trust God with the serious problems? See, the devil says you can't trust him. You can't trust God with the hard things of life. But Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. You see, God wants us to trust him. I love the way that little children trust. My grandchildren, I get a little older now, and Joshua's 16 years old. He's driving now. It's hard to believe that I have a grandchild that's 16 years old. But the little ones, they trust you. Sometimes I'm bad. I tell stories to my grandchildren that are fantastic stories. And they think everything I say, you know, oh yeah, that's true. But they trust when they go across the street, you know, and they grab Grandpa's hand. And they know if they got a hold of Grandpa's hand, we can walk across the street. And they trust me not to cross when there are cars. They trust me that they're going to be safe. They trust me that I'm going to get them to the other side. Do you know, if little children can trust us with something to them, I mean, think about it with them, a little child, 3, 4, 5 years old, crossing a busy street with cars, it can be a scary place. If little children can trust us with a circumstance like that, that is to them a serious, dangerous, frightening circumstance, can't we trust God with the circumstances of life? See, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. You know, there's no circumstance of life that comes that we cannot trust God in that circumstance. And it's so much easier in those circumstances when we say, you know what? I don't know the answer to this problem. I don't know the end from the beginning. I don't know how this will all work out in a week or 2 weeks or 6 months or 6 years. I don't know how it all works, but I trust the one who does know. And I trust when he says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I trust him. And so I don't need to be concerned about going to the doctor's office. I don't need to be concerned about these financial, I don't need to be concerned about those things. Let me get back and say this. We need to be wise stewards, don't we? We need to be good stewards of our money. We need to be good stewards of our health. We need to be a good family. We need to do all that. But having done all that, we need to say, I'm going to trust God. Rabbi Shaky said, you can't trust God with the hard things of life. Verse 31, next thing. Hezekiah, hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria,
Make an agreement with me by present and come out to me. Then eat ye every man of his own vine, every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his cistern. What's the lie? Serve me, and I will give you good things. Serve, just decide you're going to serve me, and you can come out of the city. There'll be no more siege. You can eat from your vine, your fig tree. You can live in your house. You can drink from your own well. Everything will be fine. All you have to do is serve me. Just decide you're not going to serve God, and serve me, and there will be no problems in life. Serve me and everything will be fine. I driving around town, I'm sure you've seen individuals standing at stoplights holding up a sign. These are written on cardboard, begging for money. Do you know why they're in the state? For the most part, I don't know any of them personally, I haven't talked to them. Do you know why they're there doing that? Because they served the devil, and he's taken every good thing from them and then threw them away. You see, we can say, I can do what I want. I can go out. I can serve pleasure. I can serve fun. I can have all the things that the world wants has to offer. I can always have all the things that the devil has to offer. And it won't hurt me in the end. But in the end, it will destroy you. See, this is the same thing that the devil tried with Adam and Eve in the garden, and Eve succumbed to it when he said, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, would be like God knowing, you know. Same thing he tried with Jesus. He took and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He said, all these things will I give you if you just bow down and worship me. But it was a lie. It was a lie. You see, we can look at the world, we can look at the things and say, and the devil says, I've got all these good things for you. And if you just serve me, I'll give you all of these good things. But the world, the flesh, and the devil takes people, chews them up, uses them up, and discards them. I'll give you good things. Verse 32. He says, until I come and take you away into a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and of honey, that you may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered you at all? Delivered at all of his land out of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath, of Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Ivan? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? What's the last lie we see in this? Your God is no different than the gods of the land. After that, the king of Assyria has come down, and he went to the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom had gone into idolatry. And the king of Assyria came down to the northern kingdom, and the gods of the northern kingdom did not protect the nation of Israel. He came to other heathen lands round about the nation of Judah at that time, the southern kingdom. And the gods of those countries did not protect them. And Rabshakeh says to the men on the wall, your God is no different than the gods of these lands. He can't protect you. He can't help you. Because none of the other gods have. See, we live in a day when the devil has the lie out there that all gods are equal. That it doesn't matter who you worship. And the lie is that you can worship
Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad, or you can worship the Eastern religions, or you can be involved in witchcraft, or you can be involved in any number of different religions that point to different gods. And it's really all the same God, and it really all ends up in the same place. And if you're honest and sincere about what you're doing, then you know, eventually it'll work out all right for you, and everybody's going to end up in the same place anyway. That's really what the world thinks. They've bought the lie of the devil. There's no difference. But we understand that there is a difference, and I hope you do understand that. That the Jehovah God who we serve is the God of gods. The Jehovah God who we serve is the one that created the world in six literal 24-hour days. The Jehovah God who we serve is the one who breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. The holy God that we serve is the God that knew that man would sin and man would fall away from God and that he would need to send Jesus Christ, his only son, to come as a redeemer to pay for the sins for all men for all time. That's the true God. But the world says, the devil says, there are all kinds of different gods and they're all pretty well equal. You see, man came from the heart of God. Idols, false gods, come from the sinful heart of man. Why do you think that individuals started serving idols? Because they wanted to reject God. Why do you think today we have these religions that deny the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the blood of atonement? Even these religions today in Canada, who once 100, 120 years ago stood for the same fundamental doctrines we hold in this church, they've turned away, and even a great organization, religious organization in Canada, has a leader who is an avowed atheist. How can that be? Well, the lie of the devil. All gods are equal. It doesn't matter who you serve, it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. Just believe in the goodness of man. Well, if you believe in the goodness of the man, you haven't watched the news much. Let me conclude with just a couple thoughts. Satan always lies. Always. I'm afraid some of us are listening to his lies. I can disobey God. I can do as I please. I can do something I know is contrary to God's word, and I will still prosper. It's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Sometimes we believe the lie that God doesn't want us to have any fun. Sometimes we believe the lie that if we just serve God, serve Satan, he'll give us all these good things. We'll have all the good things that we want. If we just serve Satan, Satan always lies. God always tells the truth. God always does. He tells the truth when he says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He tells the truth when he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, as the manner of some is. He tells the truth when he tells us about there's things in this life that we should not be partaking of. He tells us the truth when he says there are certain things we should be doing in this life. God always tells the truth. If we want prosperity, we looked at a little bit this morning. If we want success, that's found in obeying the Bible. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
You wonder why your life is not prospering. You wonder why you're not having success. You wonder why there's problem upon problem upon problem that doesn't seem to be resolved. Well, go back to the Word of God. Is your life in alignment to what the Word of God says? If it's not, then stop right there, because that's where your problem is. Confess your sin, forsake it, bring your life back in alignment to the Word of God, and obey Him. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The devil always tells lies. Rabshakeh told lies to the men on the wall. Thankfully, they had a strong leader in Hezekiah who said, we're not going to listen. Verse 36, and I'm done. But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Answer not a word. They stood on the wall and he ranted and raved and going on. But they just stood because they knew he was lying to them. They knew it. And they weren't about to get involved in a debate and argument because they knew he was lying. There's no sense in arguing about it. The devil always lies. Have you been listening to some of the lies? Have you been kind of just flirting with the idea that maybe the devil has some good things for you? Are you considering that maybe there's some fun out there that you really should be involved with? Because it won't really hurt me. They're the devil's lies. But we can base our life on the Word of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?